Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm just reading about the vehicle that Tiger Woods was driving, the Genesis GV80 SUV. I wonder what kind of car Tiger Woods drives, and then I noticed that it had some promotional sticker on the side, and it was because of the tournament that he was in, so he was driving one of the vehicles that was sponsoring the tournament. It is the Genesis GV80 SUV, a little-known luxury brand that's in the spotlight today. Photos and footage of the SUV that Woods was driving show a Genesis Invitational logo. He sustained leg injuries and was in surgery. You've probably heard about the titanium rod that he's had put in his leg. The only SUV that the Genesis brand currently sells is the Genesis GV80. The brand's other vehicles are passenger cars. Woods promoted Genesis last weekend during the PGA Tour's Genesis Invitational. It carries a starting price of about $50,000, has 14.5-inch horizontal touchscreen on the center console and an 8-inch digital instrument panel, 10 airbags, forward collision warning system, evasive steering technology, and an interior camera that alerts the driver if they're falling asleep. This wouldn't be the only vehicle like that. It's pretty amazing the technology that is out there, right? I was test driving once a Mercedes. I know a Cadillac has this too. I've just been reading about cars lately. And if you start to, in the Mercedes I was driving, it was the C-Class, it was the good one. No, it was the S-Class. Anyway, as the vehicle was starting to sort of veer towards the center line, somehow the car I was driving realized that, and the seat vibrated and kind of shook me. If I had been sleeping, that was going to wake me up and say, dude, you're veering to the line, wake up, get back in the middle. I'm not exactly sure how the car knew that. The backup cameras on some of these things are amazing. I have a pretty standard vehicle right now, and when we put it in reverse, you have a little camera on the back. But this one car I drove once, it looked like there was a camera 30 feet in the air, and it gave you, I still don't know how this happened. It gave you a real-time actual video view of your car and the surroundings. It was like there was a helicopter or drone above, and you were able to watch where your car was. Have no idea how they did that. And when you think about how many safety features we have today versus when you and I were a kid, or even 15 years ago, it is pretty amazing. Tom Appel joins us now on WGN Radio. He's the editor and publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Tom, I'm sure you can relate to what I'm talking about. This is your trade, but I think we sometimes take for granted how safe vehicles are, don't you?
No, I think we absolutely do, and I think that we used to have very long discussions about safety, and increasingly we've moved past that. And it takes something like the Tiger Woods crash to remind us that, yeah, wow, an awful lot of progress has been made in the area of passenger safety in vehicles.
I suppose Tiger is angry and in pain and sad. Probably even a little embarrassed, right? It's like, oh, geez, Tiger, you're in the news again for what now? And I think a lot of us wondered what were the circumstances of the crash, and we don't know all of the details. There's going to be a lengthy investigation, although it's really a very personal matter to him. It's not our business, but he's a national figure, and so folks wonder, how's he doing and what happened? And with all of that technology built in, you know, it's 7 in the morning, you ought to be able to keep the thing on the road. Again, I don't know what the circumstances were of the crash. I'm just saying that vehicles are easier and smarter and safer now than they ever were.
No, they absolutely are. And to your point, we take those things for granted. And there's so much involved that was involved in protecting Tiger during his accident that I think we'll come to understand more. And I think it's going to remind us that this stuff exists, that it's there, and additionally that we're paying for it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the cost of safety gear in cars, depending on who makes the estimate, is somewhere probably in the area of $1,000 to $2,000 per vehicle, much more on luxury vehicles that have more advanced systems. But these are things that have been integrated over time. We're used to paying for them. But cars would cost less now if they were not as safe.
That's funny you mention that, because what was the technology? Maybe it's in there as standard equipment now, but I do remember the conversation where the argument against the federal government mandating that, I think it was rear backup cameras, be in all new vehicles, was that it would raise the sticker price of a car. In other words, the government is getting in our business and saying, because we think you need to be safer, here's what you have to pay. But those backup cameras, are those mandatory now?
They are mandatory now. Again, I remember this conversation well. It was probably about a dozen years ago when manufacturers were complaining that a backup camera was going to add $600 each to the price of a car, which, of course, is really inflated cost. And the real cost now is probably under $50.
I'm reading from a piece in the New York Times. It said, and this was an article last October, so recently, it said, today there is a blizzard of technologies protecting people inside and outside the vehicle. So many, in fact, you may not even know all the systems packed into your car. I just want your comment on a couple of these. They said autos built over the last 12 years, which is the average age of a vehicle these days, are stuffed with safety features you've forgotten about. Electronic stability control. Now, what is that?
We should go back one step further to ABS, which was analog braking system.
Yeah.
And that was a system that gave lead to stability control and then traction control, because they use the same sensors and then the brakes. But stability control is a wonderful feature. It's on all cars now. It's the law. And what it does is help you keep on your path in a corner. It's most useful in slippery conditions. And here in Chicago, we should appreciate it, especially when driving on snow. If you start to slip, it would apply the brakes to any particular corner of the wheel that the system deems most effective to apply a little bit of braking force to correct the angle of the car's travel. Very impressive system. They tend to work very well.
And that's called electronic stability control?
Stability control, yes, or anti-skid system in some parlance.
And is that, I bought a car 2 years ago. Does it probably have that in there then?
Yes, it's been the law for a while now.
Thank you very much. I didn't know that I had that going for me. So if I'm turning and maybe my car is sliding, it knows which wheel to put a little bit of a brake on to maybe minimize that spin?
That's exactly correct, yeah. Obviously, it can't overcome the laws of physics, but it can do something to correct the path.
Okay, so that's one of those features. What were the other two you were talking about?
Analog brakes, those came first, and that system simply prevents your wheels from coming to a complete stop when you're coming to a stop in an emergency. Basically, if your wheels keep rolling, they brake more effectively.
So, but you can skid, right? You can lock up your brakes, can't you? I haven't tried lately, but can I do that?
It's more difficult now. What will happen is as your brakes start to lock up, you'll feel a pulsing sensation, and that is the system releasing the brakes so that the wheels can roll. This is key for maintaining brake force. It's also helpful in turning.
So, we were talking about this. I forget what the reason was prior to Tiger Woods' story. I know. Ella was asking me about because she was driving on ice the other day, and it was one of our first major ice events, and she was saying, what should I do? And I said, well, you need to pump the brakes, pump, pump, pump. But then I thought, no, I think the car does that automatically for you, right?
It does, yeah. And leg brakes takes over what used to be our pumping action. It's the exact same principle.
But it's hard to resist the temptation, right? Especially if you grew up that way. You think, I'll manage this. Better that you leave your foot on the brake and let it do the work. Is that right?
Yeah, I took driver's ed in the mid-80s, and I absolutely still believe that I should pump the brakes. And that's a bad reaction. Don't do it.
Yeah. And what was the other feature along this system that you were talking about?
Traction control, which is less of a safety feature and more of a driver assistance aid, but it goes some distance to allowing you to keep traction when you're moving forward in slippery conditions.
And you know, we haven't even gotten to the cameras and the warnings and things like that, to say nothing of the restraints in the vehicle itself. 10 airbags in Tiger's vehicle. What is standard now? I guess 2 airbags in the front is standard now?
The general suite now is 6 airbags. So you have 2 up front, 1 for the driver, 1 for the passenger, and then side airbags, which are typically front side airbags, which are typically located in the front seats on the outside, and those would inflate to protect you against side impact. And then a curtain side airbag, which covers all 3 or all 2 seating rows, and that comes from the roof rail as you project backward towards through the car.
And that's all buried somewhere in the panels, and I don't even see them, huh?
You don't see them anymore. They used to be stamped with an SRS label sometimes just to remind people that feature was there, but I don't think shoppers look for that anymore.
And how do we score that? Do those things work? Are they as helpful as we hope?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The, obviously, they assume that you're belted, and if you're not belted, they're not going to be very useful. But if you are belted, what they can do is keep you from, in the case of a front airbag, for example, you're already belted, so you are restrained. But in the event of an impact, you're going to lurch forward, and that's where you can really hurt your neck. That's where whiplash can take place. The bag inflates very quickly. It keeps you in place for that split second where you might have been shocked forward, and then it quickly deflates. Most people aren't aware it happened, except for the terrible, terrible smell.
Aren't aware that it happens because it's so abrupt. I've heard this, if that's what you're referring to, the people who are in a collision where the airbag goes off. And if you ever heard one of those things go off, it sounds like a gunshot. It's bam! And yet they say they have no recollection of the sound. Isn't that strange?
It is strange. I recently was involved in an accident that involved airbag deployment. And even knowing what the systems were supposed to do, I was surprised by what had happened and how quickly it happened. Mm. And I can't recount for you exactly how they worked. I just know they did.
Tom Appel's on a phone line, editor and publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. I know you've got some questions, too. 312-981-7200. I'm not talking about Tiger's golf swing, but he has sure made me think about what it's like when we go down the road and how many safety features we have around us. How safe is your vehicle, by the way? We'll get to that in a minute on WGN. Tom Appel is on a phone line with us right now, editor and publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive. I was clicking around the other day, Tom. So your website does what? Tell us a little bit about it when we go there.
Yeah, we review new cars. That is our primary function, but we also try to have some fun with what's going on in the auto world. We maintain a blog you can get there from consumerguide.com. All sorts of fun new car, classic cars, stuff like that. We love to do galleries of old car advertisements, for example. And we also put together a podcast. We've been doing that for about a year. That's the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. That is weekly. We try to have a lot of fun. We have industry guests. We talk about things like the Tiger Woods crash on the podcast. But I invite people to give that a listen.
What's the safest kind of vehicle to be driving these days?
The safest vehicle to buy is typically and predictably a large SUV because you have the benefit of mass on your side and you're not fighting that mass. Or hopefully you're not if you have an impact, having an impact with another large SUV.
Right. But aren't smaller cars, though, more evasive? You have a better chance of steering your car out of the way if you have a smaller vehicle?
I think that's true, and then we're really exploring the difference between sort of active crash avoidance and then survivability, and they're different things. But yes, a smaller car probably will handle a little bit better and should be able to avoid an accident better. That's not as much a case as it once in the past, and larger vehicles tend to handle better now than they used to.
But to just belabor the obvious for a minute, I did see a report today from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety.
Yeah.
And they said that you are five times more likely to perish in a car if you are crashing in a small vehicle than if you're in an SUV. I guess that's not surprising, but you see those little cute cars, and you know they're kind of nifty and zippy, and they might be able to avoid a crash, but if they're in a crash, your chance of dying in a small mini car, five times greater than if you are in an SUV.
Yeah, and that's generally because you are in a smaller vehicle than the one you're going to have an accident with. If it's a single vehicle crash, I don't think that's nearly as dire.
Interesting point. So just give me some plates, some brand names. Is Volvo, is Mercedes, is Cadillac? We've used those three names so far. Are those all super safe? What's really good?
You know, the association with those vehicles and safety goes way back, and I think that to some extent that's no longer the case. I don't think that Mercedes and Volvo's safety advantage over other vehicles is as great anymore. I did a quick list at the 2020 top safety picks from the IIHS, and on the list of 64 vehicles, Honda Acura did especially well with 6 vehicle, and little Subaru, which doesn't have that many models, has 4 top safety pick plus recommendations. So it differs by manufacturer. I should also mention Hyundai Genesis, as we were talking about Genesis earlier, has 5 mentions on that list.
There are Volvos and Mercedes on here. I mean, you are paying for something and you are getting safety, but the Nissan Rogue is on there. The Subaru Forester is on there. Mm-hmm. Subaru sells its practicality and safety. I presume you're getting something for the ugly box that you're driving, right?
You are. One of the things you get with Subaru, too, and it's especially deploying it in Chicago, especially right now, is an excellent all-wheel drive system, a sort of thing that would help you avoid an accident.
Well, and by the way, the last vehicle I owned before the one I have now was a Subaru, and we thought it was a terrific vehicle, especially in the snow. I'll pick up a couple of phone lines with Tom. We'll start with, looks like Pam is going to be first. You're on WGN. Pam, what's your question? How can we help you?
Hi, I have a 2014 Honda Odyssey van, and the best feature on this van is the side view camera. When I hit my right directional signal, I get a picture of the entire lane to my right. If I'm moving, if I'm turning, I just see everything. My daughter bought a 2016 Honda Odyssey van, one level up. It had more bells and whistles on it, and they took that feature totally off. And it's not on any car now, and I'm just wondering, why would they take that?
Where does the image appear? You say when you put on your turn signal,
on my camera and my screen inside my car.
So even if you're changing lanes, your eyes might glance at that screen to your right if you're the driver.
It's the camera, right? It's your camera.
Yeah, I know that.
Your screen, your backup.
Yeah, I know that, but that's in the center console or generally positioned in the middle there. My point is, though, that if you're changing lanes, presumably you might be looking out to your left or down to your right. You know, the other lanes of traffic on either side, but your eyes go to, and you get a perfect view of what's on the side of your vehicle. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. It only works on the right. It only works on the right hand side.
Oh, I see. Which is where you. That's interesting because that is sometimes difficult to see what's right there, huh?
Correct. I mean, you can look in your left view mirror and you see your left lane.
Right.
But there's that blind spot, and they took that feature off. My daughter, thinking she was going to get that feature, bought a 2016, and the camera was taken off, and it's not on any other Hondas, and I'm like, this was the best feature ever.
Yeah, really. Tom, what's your thought about all of that?
Yeah, that was a wonderful system, and I appreciate it as much as their caller did. And it was wonderful if you're driving around someplace with a bike lane. But that feature has not gone away. It's not on Hondas at the moment, as I understand it, but it is available now in a number of Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis models, and it works on both sides. And your view appears in the instrument cluster in front of you. And it's a nice exploded view that covers the blind spot that we often refer to in a bit broader out. It's kind of a wide-angle view. It's an especially useful thing. You don't have to be distracted by looking as far over as the outside mirror, just into the dashboard. Really a wonderful feature, and I think it's
models, those three brands again, Hyundai?
It's on select Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis models.
Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis models. Yeah, thanks for the call. Good luck to you on that. Boy, and in Chicago, Tom, that would be a terrific feature because bike lanes and bicycles are everywhere. This is Margie. You're on WGN. How can we help you, Margie?
Hey, John, I love your show.
Hooray, thank you.
I listen to you every day. I wanted to let you know I was an X-ray tech at a level 1 trauma center in central Illinois for 38 years, and I will not drive anything other than a Subaru because of their rebar system and all the safety features. I just remember X-raying a lady who did one of the rollovers and whatever. We X-rayed every bone in her body. She walked out in a cervical collar with no other body injury. So I'm on my fourth Subaru, and I will not drive anything but.
Margie, what an interesting call. Tom, what's your thought about that?
Yeah, that's good to know. Full disclosure, I drive a Subaru when I'm not driving test product, but there are plenty. I don't want to exclude other vehicles because rollover protection is a standard now, and most vehicles meet it.
Okay, but I'm going to ask about all of these things, right? If I'm buying new or used, I want to know, what do you have for rollover protection, and how about that bicycle lane camera thingy? I'd like to have some of that. Tom, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Tom?
Yeah, I was just wondering about airbags. Do they, expire? You get older cars? Is there any, do you have to worry about them?
I don't know. What about that, Tom?
I'm not aware of airbags expiring, though I believe in older vehicles they do become suspect, but much older vehicles, we're talking about decades. There is a problem now that has been lingering for several years, and that's the Takata airbag recall, which had to do with airbags aging. And that recall is still going on. But they are not supposed to age. They are supposed to last the life of the vehicle.
Good question, Tom. Thanks for the phone call. Hey, Jed, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Jed?
Well, I wanted to say that my one of my golf buddies did a rollover accident near Kankakee, and they had to cut him out of the car, and it was awful. But he only had a bruised rib, and he had a BMW. And the state trooper said, if you had not been in a BMW, you would have died.
How about that? What's your thought about that, sir? Tom?
Yeah, you know, an interesting point, too. We look at the safety standards, and as reported by the by NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or by the IIHS, the Institute for the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, and those are the ratings, and manufacturers try to meet those. And we talked earlier about Volvo and Mercedes-Benz, and I think we should mention BMW, too, that some manufacturers will try to go beyond those standards, and there's no way to measure that efficacy. There's no testing for it. And you'll hear stories like a BMW 5 Series, right, for example, doing especially well in a rollover. And it's good to know that it can do that. I don't know how to measure that for sure. But if people want to see something about this, there is all sorts of crash test video on YouTube. It is fascinating stuff.
Yeah. We're out of time. I wanted to make this other point, though, in just reading some of what you all wrote. You say that if you see a safety rating for a small car and a safety rating for a big car, the big cars are compared to the big cars and the little cars are compared to the little cars. So if my little car gets a 5 and your big car gets a 4, that doesn't necessarily mean that my little car is safer. It means in that class, correct?
Correct, yeah. Yes.
All right. If I want to read more of your groovy stuff and watch the videos and listen to the podcast, where do we go, Tom?
Just go to consumerguide.com. You can get to everything from there.
Let's visit again on this. You're terrific and very helpful. I'm glad you gave us some of your time.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine.
Tom Appel is the editor and publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive.